Good morning. It is time to get up with Green Bay. We'll tell you how Rodgers' return to a ring begins right now. There's one thing they have to do. Meanwhile, Mahomes, without his running mate, are they still legit? Is everything still up to date in Kansas City? They've got a problem to solve and we'll do it. Plus, why has it suddenly gotten so hard for Harden? Is the Philly finisher finished in the jam-packed East? Those are the questions. Good news is we've got all the answers as we get up with you starting right now on a Tuesday from the Seaport. I'm Greeny, alone but by no means by myself. Take a look at the squad that we've put together for you today. Football conversation. Diana's back from the owner meetings. Mike T's going to make somebody mad. Jeff Saturday's handing out pancakes. Wendy and Jay Will are standing by for the hoops. We'll get to all of it in a moment, but we begin with one of the best games of the year. Gino Auriemma and the number 2 seed UConn Huskies taking on number 1 NC State Elite 8. It was a classic. Pick it up in overtime. 2 minutes to play in the extra session. There's the star, Paige Beckers. Oh, so silky smooth. UConn a 1-point lead. Less than a minute now. UConn still up one. Working the ball around. That's Aaliyah Edwards for the easy two. NC State down 3. Final seconds. Ryan Rucco, take it.
4 seconds left. Perez floats it. Brown Turner for the tie. Got it to go with 0.3 remaining.
An unbelievable moment. Jakia Brown-Turner with a clutch three to send this game to double overtime. Would UConn respond? Yes, they would. Paige Beckers just took the game over. She would score 27. She's heating up. Less than a minute later, UConn up by 1. Make it 3 as Paige knocks it down. It's a 3-point lead. 10 seconds to go. UConn up by 2. NC State needs it back. Playing tough, tight defense. But look at the ball movement. They will work it to Kristen Williams. Wide open for the layup, and there it goes for the 14th consecutive year. UConn is headed to the Final Four off an absolute classic. Gino Auriemma, let's talk.
I think when you're younger, you know, you think, I got a million of these left in me, you know, and you get to a certain age then where you go, I don't know how many of these I have left. You don't know how many opportunities you're going to get to be in this game. It means more because each time you do it, there's a new set of kids that have never been there. And they came to Connecticut for a chance to play in the Final Four. And it's this overwhelming responsibility that you have to give them a chance. And we did.
Did it, they did. Final Four in Minneapolis is now set. According to Caesars, UConn, an 11-time previous champion, has only the third best odds to win. South Carolina, nearly the odds-on favorite to win it all, followed by the defending champions. Stanford Final Four begins Friday right here on ESPN. Okay, to the NBA, we run the floor. The Heat are back in the top spot in the Eastern Conference after they blow out the Kings, 123-100. It's been a tough week for Miami last week, as was well documented, but they bounce back big. Jimmy Butler at 27, Miami snapping a 4-game losing streak. Bam Adebayo at 22 points, 15 rebounds. In Toronto, the Celtics without Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and others lost in overtime, 115-112. Pascal Siakam went for 40 and 13 rebounds. With that loss, the Celtics fall from first to fourth in the East. Fourth is just a placeholder right now, though, because four teams are within one game of the top spot in the conference. Miami with that lead over the Bucks and Sixers, who play each other tonight in Philly. According to our analytics, the Celtics have the best chance to get the one seed at 44%. All right, Jay Will has made his way across the hall. KJM weekday mornings on ESPN Radio. He's got
I'm wearing Duke blue.
Yeah. He's got the Duke blue on. Wendy's got the Carolina blue on.
Ridiculous.
Sorry, not sorry.
All right, so we got a bunch of things to get to today. Before we move on to anything else, you did make an observation in our meeting this morning that I think could wind up being very important about the Celtics, who were not whole in Toronto last night.
Yeah, we talked for weeks about Kyrie Irving's status if the Nets had played Toronto in the postseason. That also applies to other teams. Jason Tatum, Al Horford, Jaylen Brown were on the injury report on Monday night. They were not on the injury report. They played on Sunday. Jason Tatum in the past has said that he is vaccinated on the record. When asked about whether all of their team would be available under the current rules in Toronto, the Celtics offered a no comment. Mm. I don't know if they're going to play in the postseason. Mm. We'll see. But just Let that be known.
Well, you're making that noise, Jay, because clearly the Celtics, who've had this unbelievable run over the last 3 months, that could, it's a topic that has not come up anywhere, and that's why we wanted to get ahead of it. It is a potential matchup in the first round. Nothing is set yet in those playoffs, but it could happen.
And by the way, the loss of Robert Williams, you know, one of the things that makes this team so good defensively is that they can apply so much pressure. So for Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, they can deny passing lanes, they can push up underneath you because you know you have a guy behind you that is great at blocking shots, but also altering shots. The amount of shots that Robert Williams alters at the rim is what makes his talent so incredible and dismissible.
So yesterday, at this time, we were talking about the miracle run the Celtics were on and whether or not they were a championship contender. 24 hours later, the conversation is very different. Life comes at you fast in the NBA. In the meantime, staying in the Eastern Conference, I want to talk about James Harden, who has really struggled, particularly in the game against Phoenix. This weekend, he went 2 of 11 in a Sixers loss. And yesterday, here on the show, I want you to hear what Tim Legler had to say about Harden. Here was Legs.
I think the level of concern is rising as we speak. I really do, because when I watch James Harden certain nights, and last night was a great example of this, and look, you are playing one of the best defenses in the league, but he has an inability right now to get by the initial defender. He just can't do that right now. I don't know if it's physically something is going on. He's not the same dominant offensive player that he was, and that should be absolutely concerning to the Philadelphia 76ers.
So listen, I'm old enough to remember when Harden first got there and everyone thought this was the greatest deal of all time. They were 5-0 in his first five games. Since then, they're just 5-4 when he plays, and you see his numbers are way down. Jay Will, what are we seeing in James Harden right now?
So the best 76ers offense is when there's continuity, when you get the defense rotating from side to side, which allows a mismatch for Joel Embiid. When you're going to see on this tape, when they break down and they get into an ISO situation, I want everybody to pay attention to how the offense becomes stagnant. He comes off the screen, you're going to see Tyrese Maxey come up here from the weak side. Now watch, it breaks down. Now he's trying to handle separation. Tyrese Maxey, what are we doing? What are we doing here on the court? Everybody's standing around watching James Harden go into ISO basketball. It allows the defense to set. It goes into a turnover. These are not the kind of possessions that you want down the stretch if you're Doc Rivers and if you're a 76ers.
Absolutely. And then you add to that what Legler was talking about, which is not only does he take the air out of the ball, but he also can't just blow by people the way he used to. Why is that?
Well, because he lost a little bit of his burst, but he still does have, if he can get a step on you, he can still beat you with his upper body. That's how James Harden plays. He throws his shoulders in front of you and then edges you out of the play offensively. And he can still make reads. It just doesn't have the same pop that it used to when he was in Houston.
Wendy, what are people around the league saying?
This is one of the worst kept secrets in the league, that his first step isn't the same. Here are the numbers. Blow-by percentage has gone from 89th percentile in the league to 58th. He's gone from super elite to middling. He's still very crafty. He's still getting to the foul line 10 times a game. But you saw in that clip, they sat on his left side. A good team that has a good defensive strategy, Harden's going to struggle against right now. There's a wonder whether this hamstring injury that he suffered a year ago is leading to this, or if it's conditioning, or if it's a little bit of both.
One way or another, Jay Will, where does that leave Philly as we head down this final week and a half and into the playoffs?
I mean, the fact that this is happening towards the playoffs, once again, is starting to prove that narrative correct about what we think about James Harden in the playoffs, unfortunately. One of the most innovative offensive players the game has ever seen in the history of the game. But when it comes down to crunch time, what James Harden will we see? I think the one who has a hamstring injury, the one who's somewhat out of shape.
So right this minute, in the tightest conference we've ever seen, super quick, Wendy, who do you like in the East right now?
Milwaukee and Boston.
Milwaukee and Boston.
Yeah.
All right, I was looking for one, but I'll give you two because I like you. Jay Will, how about you?
The Milwaukee Bucks. They're the best team in the Eastern Conference.
All right, very good.
I know it's not the sexy pick, but they are there when it counts.
No, the sexy pick pays across the river in Brooklyn.
Agreed.
An area you know awfully well. We'll see what happens. All right, get back on the radio. Jay Will, thank you very much. All right, more hoops as we go. But to the NFL now, where the Packers have been at the center of attention for so much of this offseason, bringing back Aaron Rodgers on a new contract and then trading away his number one receiver, Devontae Adams, to Las Vegas. As the owners' meetings continue, here was Matt LaFleur literally moments ago meeting the media in Palm Beach.
Those decisions are never easy to make. And unfortunately, it was one that, you know, we had to come to. I think a lot of it was driven by Devontae, I would tell you. But, you know, there's no sense in looking back on it. It's just we're moving forward. So and we appreciate everything he's done. Obviously, it's a lot to replace in terms of the production and the type of leader that he was for us. But again, it was just one of those deals that you never want to make, but unfortunately, sometimes you have to.
All right, so let's get the crew in here. Diana Russini, you were just back from the owners' meetings. What was the general conversation surrounding the still somewhat stunning trade of Devontae Adams to Vegas?
Yeah, can we get these meetings a little later for these head coaches? Matt LaFleur sounds exhausted. and that's what's so great about these meetings, Greeny, is just, you know, this is a really loose environment there in Palm Beach where you have the head coaches, GMs, owners, and some media there just all having these conversations. I call them the off-the-record convention because so much of these conversations are off the record, but there are some that are on the record. And of course, a lot of people were talking about the Green Bay Packers and their big trade of Devontae Adams. And the sense I was getting is the Packers were never going to be able to strike a deal and make this work either way. This going back to last season that Adams was really dug in on what he wanted, and the Packers were obviously on a different page than he was. And this just made the most sense for them. And of course, we now know they got to go to the drawing board and they got to fill this roster. They got to figure out a way to replace him. They've got to figure out a way to replace MVS. They've got to figure out a way to potentially replace a wide receiver that will be Randall Cobb next year. So you have a lot of need at the receiver position once again for the Green Bay Packers.
Jeff Saturday, if you're a player on the Green Bay Packers, how you feeling?
Not good. Not good at all, Greeny. Listen, you had one of the best duos in your locker room over the past 5 years. You let him walk away to another football team. Now you're talking about, oh, we're going to draft. Well, hey, Captain Obvious understands you got to draft receivers. We get that. But here's the thing about Aaron Rodgers. The most receptions that a rookie wide receiver has had with him is 38. That's not a good number, right? So when you try to replace that type of production from he and Devontae Adams, that's a big deal. He likes to have a rapport with guys. He wants to trust that his receiver is going to be in the exact place he wants him at the exact time. That's the way he operates. With a short window you're talking about with Rodgers potentially retiring and leaving the game, now was the time to keep him in your building. This is a huge frustration to guys in that locker room. This is not something that just, you know, goes under the radar for guys who understand winning is now in the NFL, and they've hurt themselves in that.
And Mike T, at the risk of continuing to harp on this, I think as we discuss it, it is worthy of reminding everyone, part of this at least is Rodgers driven, yes?
100%. On February 18th, Green Bay announced that Tom Clements will be the quarterback coach of the Green Bay Packers. That was the one piece of the puzzle that Aaron Rodgers, in fairness, didn't know. It took him another month till about March 14th for him to decide he was coming back. He should have signed the next day with the Green Bay Packers, Greeny, at which point they could have gone and recruited Devontae Adams. And that's what leaders do. They make it about everybody else, their teammates. And you can see the frustration on Matt LaFleur's face, which is they matched the money. So at the end, it would have been a stretch, but they could have made it work economically. But what would have happened was it would have cost them other players. But more fundamentally, Greeny, Aaron Rodgers dragged this out, and at the end, other players had to do what was in their best interest, and it was too far gone for them to fix it. And I put that at the timing of Aaron Rodgers' decision.
So much of this, again, it's the money, and then it is the things beyond the money. Sometimes it's the timing. So, Jeff, where does it leave the Packers? If they were, last year, the best team in the NFC, which they were, now that they lose Devontae Adams and some of the other pieces we saw, what are they today?
Either the third, maybe the fourth. I mean, you think about the Rams, to me, have to be one. I think when you think about the Bucs with Tom Brady coming back, he'd be up there. Even the Saints with the defense, they have Jameis Winston. I'd put those guys like, you know, if he comes back and is strong, it's kind of at that thing. The NFC, we know, has gotten weaker because a ton of great players have went to the AFC, so they still have a boxer's chance here, or fighter's chance. But when I look at this, it's concerning because you have a guy who's, you know, who's kind of non-committal. Is he going to continue to play? Is he going to retire? Now they've based decisions on letting Devontae Adams leave the building based on those things. This is a tough thing for the Packers to overcome. I like LaFleur. I think, you know, obviously Aaron Rodgers is still going to be a great QB, but, man, they got a lot of work to do to get back to where they want to be.
All right. Now, that's not the only receiver situation that is worthy of note today. Diana, back from the owners' meetings, has more information on the other huge receiver trade. Help wanted in Kansas City. How desperate are the Chiefs to find the replacement for Tyreek? Diana has the very latest on an angle you may not have heard before. Plus, LeBron's ankle swollen. Their playoff chances getting slimmer by the day. Should they just shut him down? We're talking about it next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by Marvel Studios' Moon Knight. Don't miss the 6-episode event starting this Wednesday. It's only on Disney+. All right, Diana Russini again. Just back from the owners' meetings. Let's run the hurry up. A lot of news. What's going on with Jimmy G?
All right, Greeny. Jimmy G, obviously still a San Francisco 49er. Can you believe it? I don't think anybody thought he would still be on the roster at the end of March, but that is where we are at right now. GM John Lynch telling the media at the owners' meeting that they don't have any plans of cutting. They're just going to essentially sit back right now and wait for the right opportunity. We know come training camp, we see quarterbacks unfortunately get injured at times, and perhaps that's the time the Niners strike, but no plans of cutting him. Meantime, Bobby Wagner, the 8-time Pro Bowler, we know the former Seahawks is on the street at this point. The Ravens, the Rams, both teams are interested. And according to Peter King, Wagner is looking for about a 1-year deal worth about $11 million. And look, I can tell you from talking to people in the Rams, they are very interested, just not at $11 million. And speaking of interest, or perhaps not a lot of interest, Cleveland Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield, still on that roster. And it's pretty much known at this point right now, this is not going to work. There is no future here with the Cleveland Browns and Baker Mayfield. Mayfield, of course, wants to be traded. And the Cleveland Browns, from what I was told, they want to make this move happen quickly. But at this point right now, there is no landing place for him because the Cleveland Browns, they don't want to have to take on the salary that $18.25 average million dollars that he's owed next year. They don't want to pay that. So they're waiting for a team to step up and say, we'll take it and we'll take on Baker Mayfield.
It's going to be really interesting. Still so much news out there. And that is even on the heels of Kansas City making the huge move last week. The Chiefs stunning the football world by trading Tyreek Hill to the Dolphins. I want to play you this again. We had it yesterday. It came in as we were on the air. Andy Reid at the owners' meetings addressing the decision and acknowledging the reality that the salary cap factored in.
We did try to sign Tyreek at a certain cost. Once it gets past that, now you can see what we're doing here with the players we brought in, and we feel they're very good football players. If you're paying all your money to a quarterback and you can't surround them with players, that could be a problem. So you've got to find a way to a Tyreek Hill, maybe, that you have to get rid of so that you can replenish.
All right, so, Diana, I come right back to you. You mentioned right at the top of the show that everyone's very relaxed and chatty at these owners' meetings. What were you hearing about Kansas City right now?
Yeah, you hear the word replenish, and that's essentially what they're trying to do. And what the Chiefs, from what I can understand in terms of replenish, is they're calling teams to see if perhaps teams that we haven't heard about are interested in perhaps trading one of their top receivers to Kansas City. So to me, that tells me Kansas City is basically looking at the entire market. They're looking at free agency, who's still left on the street right now. We know Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry is still available. You know they've done their work there. But they're thinking perhaps we can do better. We can come close to replacing a player like Tyreek Hill by going after a team that has a top receiver that maybe would be open to some dealings, because we know that the Chiefs, they've got the money, they've got the draft picks, and this could be their answer. Of course, if they don't get their answer there, we have the draft coming up in just a few weeks.
How does that work, Mike T, as a longtime general manager yourself? How do you tell how do you call someone and say, you may not be thinking of trading this player, but I want him?
Yeah, I'm talking to every team, and to Diana's point, I am scouring. So let's put some meat on this.
Scour.
DK Metcalf in Seattle, and just in terms of, you know, they're in a rebuild. Deebo Samuel, can they afford him in San Francisco? Even a guy like Justin Jefferson, I'm calling every team. And then I'm saying they were 29 and 30. Can I go up and maybe get a guy like Jameson Williams from Alabama, who may be just as explosive as Tyreek Hill? So I am scouring. I am talking to everybody. And I have a lot of ammunition between cap space, draft choices. So to Diana's point, I am down there. I am talking to everybody I can, and then making the best decision for us, comparing those trade possibilities and the draft.
So one way or another, Tyreek Hill was such a huge part, Jeff, of what Kansas City has done the last few years. How big a step back do they take, and how long does it last?
I think they take a slight step back early in the season, Greeny, but I think this team will be back to full throttle by the end of the season. Listen, I believe in Andy Reid. I understand what he can do with this offense, and I understand about the scouring. I totally agree, and I love what Mike T talks about scouring. Everything is about scouring to Mike T. But when you think about this football team with Smith-Schuster, and then you look at the drafting ability, like think about Veach, their general manager. They got Hunt, Kareem Hunt, in the second round. Hill, Kelsey. Like, these guys understand. They got Creed Humphrey last year in the second round. Trey Smith in the sixth. They understand how to build a team. And what Andy Reid is saying is exactly right. They have Patrick Mahomes, who's 26. People want to come play with him. They understand about how to develop this thing. It may take a little a backward step early in the season. I think this team is humming by the end of the season.
Okay, so maybe not as big a step backwards as I might have expected. I'll pause briefly on that thought, but we need to examine the other side of that trade as we continue. The uphill battle in Miami, why bringing in Tyreek may not change as much as you would expect. Plus, with LeBron's ankle swollen, is it time for the Lakers to just give up on their season? Will the King ever win again in L.A.? We're talking about that next. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Another reminder that the Red Cross is providing humanitarian relief in response to the crisis in Ukraine. If you would like to help support and donate, please visit redcross.org/ESPN. All right, back on Get Up and with Diana and Jeff here. Oh, let's answer some quarterback questions. Hey, Jeff, this is your team. Is Matt Ryan the answer in Indianapolis?
He is. Listen, I think this puts them right in the division with the Tennessee Titans. I do think they still have a lot of work to do. They got to go get some receivers. Their tight end retired. They got to get a tight end in there. They have to help him, but he will definitely be better from the pocket than Carson Wentz was last year. So all arrows pointing up.
Diana, next stop is Cleveland or somewhere. Will Baker Mayfield be a starter for any team this season?
Yeah, let's make that clear, Greeny. It will not be with the Cleveland Browns, right? We know Deshaun Watson is the starter. So where does Baker land? Look, the only way I see him being a starter this upcoming season is if he signs with a team like the Detroit Lions or perhaps the Seattle Seahawks, where he can compete with quarterbacks like Jared Goff, Drew Locke, and maybe win out and become a starter that way. Otherwise, I think he's going to wind up probably being a backup this upcoming season.
Now, he and Goff on the same team. They were both number one overall. Jeff, is Tua Tagovailoa the right quarterback to lead the Dolphins?
You about to find out, Greeny. You and me both, bro, because it's now or never. They've done everything they can do to surround this guy. They got a left tackle for him. They went out and found one of the fastest receivers in the NFL. They built this team for his success. He has to understand it's now your role to step up, not only from a leadership perspective, but making plays. It's Tua time or he's moving on.
Well, that's an interesting point here. And, Diane, I want to come back to you on this thought because this is a team that has gone out now. They drafted him, Jalen Waddle. They went out and traded for Tyreek Hill. They basically have an Olympic track team right now at the receiver position. They've spent a bunch of money on the offensive line. What should we be thinking about the new staff and their view of Tua?
Well, I want to start really positively, and that's that head coach Mike McDaniel has done a really good job with all the quarterbacks he has worked with over the years. Obviously, the most recent one being Jimmy Garoppolo. We've seen him work with Robert Griffin III back in the day, and he really has a great way of bringing out the best in quarterbacks. And this is just from conversations I had with QBs, and this is actually how I found out about Mike McDaniel and his talent, by just talking to the players directly about what he brings to the table. So it makes all the sense in the world for the Miami Dolphins to have made that hire, knowing that they've got a quarterback who's got a lot of work to do. And there is belief that Tua still has the ability. But I think it's important to point out here that Tua doesn't have any allegiance to this current staff, right? Teddy Bridgewater is the backup quarterback. That is a very smart and safe backup quarterback to run this offense. If it doesn't work out with Tua, if Tua shows that he can't run those plays that Mike McDaniels likes to run, and we know it's all about the yak. It's yards after catch in a McDaniels offense. We saw it with the 49ers. So I think that they have a really good insurance plan there, but they're going to let the reins out and pretty much release Tua here and see what he can do at the start of the season.
How do you see it, Chad?
Yeah, listen, I see exactly what Diana just said at the end of the conversation. This is about yards after catch and completion, right? Get the ball out of your hand. They've done a good job of reestablishing an offensive line. They were ranked 32nd in the league last year, which is dead last. So that part of the offense has improved. And then you're giving them that speed. Get the ball out of your hand. Be on time. Let those dynamic playmakers, you just called them an Olympic track team, get the ball in their hands the same way Debo Samuel, George Kittle, like allow those guys to go make plays after the catch. You don't have to be the hero. It doesn't always have to be a deep ball. It can be a ball that's just on time and allowing players to make the best play. So I like what Diana's saying, and that is exactly what Mike McDaniel is looking for. Be on time, be precise and accurate, and allow your players to make you look better. Everybody's successful when it works from that way. You've seen it in the 49ers, and now hopefully they see it in Dolphin land.
If someone, Jeff, were to look at this and say, in order to try and justify making that selection, a pick that will always be the guy they drafted in front of Justin Herbert, they have now literally done everything they can, including firing a head coach that no one thought deserved to be fired and bringing in a new one, who Diana just said is an offensive quarterback guru, going out and trading and paying Tyreek Hill more than I think most other teams would have been willing to give up and pay for it. All the rest of that, does it feel like they are still on some level chasing a pick that no matter what they do is going to wind up having been the wrong one?
100%. You couldn't have said it any better. They are trying to do everything they can do to justify why they did what they did. And whether that's mortgage the future and bringing in a receiver, like you said, that most teams wouldn't pay for, going to get an offensive lineman to kind of shore this thing up, they're doing everything to show, hey, Tua is the right guy if we do these things. So, again, it's time for him to step up and make the plays that they've expected him to make. And you know when coaches are getting brought in, it's, hey, can you win with Tua? I'm sure Mike McDaniel said absolutely. And to Diana's point, he's done a really good job with young quarterbacks. I'm going to do the same. But Bridgewater does give them a little benefit for the team. But, man, this team wants to be about Tua, and that's from ownership down.
Diana, put a ribbon on it. Go.
Yeah, one thing I like, too, about what this coaching staff has done is they know their defense was really good last year. And usually head coaches bring in their own people. They kept everything the same there in Miami. Yeah. The offensive side of the ball, we're going to see something different. The defense, consistent. So this could be a really good formula for them.
All right, guys, stay close. I'm coming back to you in just a moment, but the basketball crew has made their way back in here. Jay Williams and Brian Windhorst. Let's run the floor in the NBA. Celtics without Al Horford, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum lost in Toronto in overtime by three. Pascal Siakam went for 40 and 13 rebounds. And so with that loss, the Celtics fall from first to fourth in the jam-packed Eastern Conference. In Memphis, nobody played. The Warriors, without the Splash Brothers, without Draymond Green, got blown out by the Grizzlies, who were playing without Ja Morant. 123-95 was the final. Memphis, by the way, 18-2 without Morant. Steve Kerr got thrown out of the game. Oh, and don't look now. The Spurs are inching closer to the playoffs. They beat the Rockets last night, 123-120. DeJounte Murray leading the way for San Antonio with 33 points. And so the bottom of the play-in tournament race, fascinating now. The Lakers, take a look at that. They're just a half game up on the Spurs for the 10th and final spot. And of the three teams battling for the final two play-in spots, the Lakers have the toughest remaining schedule. Six of their final eight are against teams that are over 500. And you were telling us, Wendy, for all intents and purposes, the Spurs and Lakers are tied right now based on the tiebreaker?
Yeah, the Spurs have the tiebreaker. And really bad news, they play the Trailblazers twice at home in the next 5 days. The Spurs are probably going to be ahead of the Lakers by the end of the week.
And so what does this mean? Can you fathom a world, Jay Will, in which LeBron James, having the kind of season that he is having, might miss out on everything, including the play-in tournament?
Yeah, I've been thinking about that world for the past month and a half. And the real question that I have for LeBron is, you have a sore left knee that you missed multiple games already. Now you roll your left ankle. What are we trying to have LeBron James do at the age of 37? We're trying to have him come back and fight for a 10th seed. Like, it gets to a certain point where you're thinking, what's in the best long-term interest of LeBron James more so than short-term game?
What's in the best long-term interest of LeBron James is clearly something that will happen after the middle of June this year. I think any thoughts of Anthony Davis coming back and this team going on some miracle run, unless there's anyone here who wants to suggest that's still a possibility. So, Wendy, what does it then look like? What does the future look like for LeBron beyond this spring?
Boy, it's going to take threading a needle to get this Lakers team out of the current situation. They are going to have to hit a home run in free agency with very limited dollars. They are going to have to hit some sort of Russell Westbrook trade. And I'm not sure that Rob Pelinka has demonstrated that he's going to be able to do it. The big thing here is in August, LeBron is eligible to sign a contract extension. So he will evaluate the moves in June and July. They don't have a draft pick. That's out the window. He will evaluate the moves in June and July and then extend or not. So this is going to be a very delicate couple of months when this season is mercifully over.
Well, he's talked, Jay, about wanting to play long enough to play with his son, Bronny. So retirement doesn't seem to be in the question here. So the question then is, does his career continue in L.A. or somewhere else?
Wendy, I do not know. I would love to have a definitive answer for you, but I don't know if I believe in Rob Pelinka's ability to get this team and revamp them to be a title contender. And if I'm LeBron James, I am chasing after a legacy. Mm-hmm. I want to win. Do the Lakers give me the best odds to win a championship? Right now, I would heavily bet against the Lakers to do that.
Well, in theory, they have a big two. Now, one of that big two, it tends never to be healthy.
You think about how you label that. In theory.
Is the possibility of trading Anthony Davis this offseason on the table?
I think it'll be something that's discussed. I think it would be a mistake because you're still talking about a guy when healthy is a top 15 player. You're not going to be replacing it. And something I'll say about LeBron. He loves sitting at his house in Brentwood, drinking wine on his rooftop deck with his little fire pit out there. He likes being in L.A. And if it means that he spends the next year and a half just chasing the Kareem record and that is his nightly motivation, that may be something that he is willing to do, even though that is a departure from the LeBron that we have seen for most of his career.
But if he does, if he is still there in L.A. and they don't make some kind of monumental move, have we seen the last ring placed on the finger of the king?
I can't say that. You'll never see me on national TV betting against LeBron James. I just won't do it. I refuse to do it. He's one of the greatest the game of basketball has ever seen. There's always going to be an ambition for him to try to get another ring. I can't believe LeBron would just, hey, I'm going to check out now and just get stats. He wants to win.
No, it's not that he doesn't want to win, but can even he, he'll be 38 years old next season. Can even he
Green,
drag what this is?
Yeah. LeBron's career operates in 4-year increments.
Right.
He wears his team out. I call it organizational fatigue. It happened the first time in Cleveland. They ran out of draft picks. They had a bunch of guys in their mid-30s. Shaq, good to the finish line. Antoine Jameson, he goes to Miami, 4 years. Great run. They run out of draft picks. Three guys retired after the game. He goes to Cleveland. 4 years. Great run. They run out of draft picks. They got old guys. Here we are in L.A., 4th year. The oldest team like we've seen in NBA history. They're out of draft picks. They're exhausted. The correct thing in the LeBron sequencing is to move. But LeBron loves living in L.A., loves raising his kids there, loves sending them to that high school, Sierra Canyon. I don't think he wants to move. He's looking to have his cake and eat it, too.
So, I mean, is it time for him to graduate? That's really going to be the question. It's 4 years. It's graduation time this summer. We'll see if he does it. Jay will get back on the radio. Thank you, my man. Hey, we got good games coming your way, by the way, tomorrow night. Our Wednesday doubleheader on ESPN. Two of the best in the East, the Heat and the Celtics at 7:30 Eastern. And then the West leading Suns and the Warriors. A big one and could be a playoff preview. Our coverage begins with NBA Countdown 7 Eastern here on ESPN. Coming up, quarterbacks breaking the bank, except for this one. Why hasn't Lamar Jackson gotten paid yet? Could it actually be the best decision he ever made? We'll explain why next.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Back on Get Up, and one of the trends we've seen this offseason, big money being doled out to quarterbacks. First, Aaron Rodgers, after weeks of speculation, he re-ups with the Packers. His new deal is 3 years. It's worth over $150 million. And then Deshaun Watson traded from Houston to Cleveland and promptly gets a 5-year, $230 million contract, which includes a nearly $45 million signing bonus. And so the question is, could Lamar Jackson be next? He's currently slated to make just $23 million this upcoming season in the last year of his rookie deal. Speaking of this at the owners' meetings, here was his head coach, John Harbaugh.
When we get back, maybe another conversation will be had. You know, when we get back in April, you know, possibly, I assume, you know, with Lamar, you never know. I mean, it's not really just in the forefront of his mind whenever I talk to him. I think he is planning on something being done. We're planning on something being done. I'm confident it's going to happen.
So isn't that interesting? And again, Diana, you are just back from the owners' meetings, and we're all sitting here saying, why aren't the Ravens getting this deal done with Lamar? Maybe we're looking at that backwards.
Yeah, because Lamar Jackson is doing nothing to get this done at this point. There's no sense of urgency coming from him, which how many times have we seen situations where quarterbacks right now, let's just use this for an example, Kyler Murray in Arizona, right? They want to get this deal done now. They want to get that money secured and move on, especially looking around at all the quarterbacks right now getting paid. The market is set really well at this point. Why not move on and get this done? And the sense I'm getting here is the Ravens, they're sitting back and just waiting for Lamar to step up and step forward and say, all right, I'm ready to do this. Let's negotiate.
And so has the sitting back and waiting approach that Lamar Jackson himself seems to be taking, Mike Tannenbaum, has that been the right or wrong decision for him?
Not only has it been right, Greeny, he's going to go down as an unbelievable player and a Hall of Fame agent. And here's why. If we're having this conversation 2 weeks ago, we're saying, $45 million a year, about 115 guarantees, Aaron Rodgers. Well, the world has changed. Deshaun Watson got a fully guaranteed $230 million. Deshaun Watson walks into John Harbaugh's office, puts his feet up on the desk and says, hey, coach, I will not ask for $1 more than what Deshaun Watson get. However, I am not going to take $1 less. here is the bill. I would love for you guys to pay it. If you don't, that is fine, because we just saw the Saints, the Falcons, all want to have Deshaun Watson. I am good. That is the number. If you would like to pay it, we could sign it.
And so, to be clear, sneaky big news, we could almost call it, that maybe the Deshaun Watson contract in Cleveland changed a lot of things for a lot of people and a lot of teams, yes?
Unbelievably. When you talk to people around the league, Russell Wilson in Denver, and then you think about Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, Justin Herbert at the Chargers, there is a massive change in the quarterback market, and the eyes of the football world are going to watch what happens with Lamar Jackson to see if what Deshaun Watson did was aberrational or is it a new trend. And as the graphic shows, the average per year has coalesced around a number, but the guarantees are massively different, and that's what's hugely consequential. So if Lamar Jackson gets $230 million in guaranteed, what do you think Kyle Murray is going to ask for? And Russell Wilson basically has a blank check. Denver gave up multiple picks to get Russell Wilson. They have to get him extended. Everybody's watching what happens in Baltimore, and Deshaun Watson truly may have changed this market forever.
And so then let me ask the player in this conversation. Jeff Saturday, how are you feeling about this?
I'm nervous. Listen, Mike T's telling you everything that's facts, right? Like, but you got to be, you know, the agent or Hall of Fame agent, you got to make the deal. So get in there and make the deal. Get in there and go put your feet up. Like, let's get this thing going. I think I'm more concerned about Lamar Jackson's health than he is. I mean, this guy's been hit over 850 times since he's come into the league. I'm not saying he's more prone to injury than anybody else, because that's you know, that would be outside of what I'm trying to say here. But the potential is always greater because of how many times he's asked to put the ball in his hands, whether it's running or passing. So when I look at this, I can't get to the complex fast enough to get this deal done. $230 million guaranteed, fully guaranteed. I think he'll all be good. Generational wealth created, everything. You're at the right organization with the right staff. Let's get it done, though, man. Let's hurry to get to go become that Hall of Fame agent like Mike T's saying.
Let's see if he's able to get that deal done. Spoken like an offensive lineman. That's extremely well said, Jeff Saturday. Okay. I mentioned that might have been sneaky big news. Here's some real sneaky and potentially big news. Bill Belichick, at the owners' meetings, was talking the other day, and he was asked about having not yet named a defensive or offensive coordinator. This is what he said.
I'm assuming you're not going to name an offensive or defensive coordinator this year. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not big on titles, so we have jobs to do. We'll do the jobs.
All right, so that's an unorthodox approach, I suppose. Jeff Saturday, how do you feel about that?
I don't love it. Not even a little bit. Like, I get you don't have to have titles. The title part I don't really care about. And I've seen, you know, we've seen this from a defensive coordinator side with Belichick before. But again, you're talking about arguably one of the best defensive minds ever to coach. So you weren't really nervous about who was going to finally make the call on defense. Offensively, you have a second year quarterback who is trying to ascend in this league. They were about 19 or 20th in the league last year. Josh McDaniels, their offensive coordinator, for however long he's been there, left, and he was a steadying force on that offensive side. I question who's going to call the plays. Who's helping with the development of Mac Jones? All of those things give me pause, because it's not the exact same as when you're talking about the defensive side because of what Bill has done for so long. So I am concerned. I would like to know a little bit more, and I know they have it in-house, but man, you know, I don't think there's anybody on the staff who's even called offensive plays in a game. That's concerning for me.
Diana, go ahead.
Yeah, Jeff, you know better than anybody that the Patriot way, Bill Belichick craves familiarity. They're going to just keep this in the family. That's what's the comfort space for them. So while you're right, there's probably not an offensive coach who would be deserving or maybe even has the knowledge to be able to call plays at this point.
Right.
But I think from the Patriot perspective, their head coach / GM wants someone he knows and can probably also have a lot of control over.
Well, he's got Joe Judge, who was a long time on his staff, and Matt Patricia, long time on his staff. Mike T, how do you see it?
Well, I'm a two-time graduate of the Bill Belichick Titleist program, so he doesn't believe in titles. But here's another really interesting dynamic here. If I'm Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, I know that Bill Belichick is closer to the end of his career than the beginning of it. And I look at someone like Matt Patricia and Bill Belichick. Coach Belichick, was the head coach in Cleveland, didn't work out, spent a time, a year with the Patriots as assistant, then under Coach Parcells at the Jets. The rest is history. Matt Patricia didn't work out in Detroit. Now he's back. He works on contracts. He's worked on the defensive side of the ball. Now he's on the offensive side of the ball. When you start connecting the dots, to me, I don't think it's unrealistic to think that he may be a meaningful candidate to one day replace Coach Belichick.
It's an interesting way of looking at it, and it may be true. But as far as the immediate development of a young quarterback, which at this moment in time, Jeff, Saturday is the most important thing they can do, just to give you the final word, this is some concern to you?
Absolutely. And you said it best. You got Mac Jones, who you're expecting development and growth. You don't have a great wide receiver core. You've lost some offensive linemen that you've traded away. Like, you look at this football team, you need to take strides offensively. You need one voice speaking to that quarterback. I just question where that's going to come from right now.
Tom Brady was their quarterback the last time they won a playoff game, so we will see where it goes from here. A reminder, by the way, we got hockey coming your way. Our featured upcoming NHL matchups tonight, ESPN Plus Hockey Night in Tampa, Canes and Lightning, 7 Eastern. Then ABC Saturday's matinee has Sidney Crosby and the Pens in Colorado take on the Avalanche, 3 Eastern. Both games also available, of course, on the ESPN app. Coming up, why is wrong with James Harden? Why has it gotten so hard for him? Should you no longer fear the beard? Will it cost the Sixers a title? Richard Jefferson answers that question and more next.